Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold.
Shall Lord me rule? seated.
Sir.
Let's turn to number 51 in preparation for the Lord's Supper.
I mentioned about the way we do the Lord's Supper here for our visitors today.
The way we have been doing the Lord's Supper the last year and a half or so with the pandemic, we take the bread is in little cups, and you take that, and then we also do the cup the same way, and we'll put the cup in the back of the pew in front of us. So we're trying to stay as safe as we possibly can. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, within the sacred page, I sing thee, Lord, my spirit burns for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst flesh the bread Reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table to remember your Son that died upon the cross, we thank you, O God, for loving us the way that you do. We're grateful for your Son who came into this earth and taught us the things that you'd have us to know and died on that cruel cross for our sins. As we partake of this bread, Father, at this time, help us to go in our minds back to that cross and to the body that hung there for us. And Father, help us to partake of this bread in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon that cross. Again, Father, we pray that we may examine ourselves as we partake of this and do so in a manner to be pleasing to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord's Supper has been completed. We now have an opportunity to give back to the work of the Lord here at this place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the blessings that we have in this life. We realize, Father, that all blessings come from You. Help us, Father, now to give back a portion to Thee. Father, may it come from our hearts, and may it, Father, we pray that it would do much good even throughout the world. Bless us now as we give, and these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We have 17 present this morning. Today is November 21st, 2021. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 454. 454 will be our song of invitation later this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 210. 210. I come to the garden of old while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the
last Sunday night, we started in this particular series about the Lord's church to speak about what he said regarding religious division that would come about and how it would come within the church as well as from without the church and how sad it would be that that would be the case. We go to Romans chapter 16, verses 16 and 17 as we begin this study this morning, a reminder to us. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine ye have learned of us, and avoid them. There are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. Their intent is not to teach God's word. Their intent is to teach their own doctrines and practices. They oppose those doctrines and practices that were taught by the apostles. And the apostle says there, those received of us, those things received of us. Notice that in regard to that, it's a sad situation. From Paul's words there, Peter and Paul and James and then Jude, as authors of books of the New Testament, Jude finally closes out in Jude chapter 1 at verse 3 by saying the following. He says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. He notes regarding there being false prophets among you that will creep in and how they'll do their teaching in their way to lead you away from Christ Jesus. But he said, if you know the faith, if you study the faith and know the faith, you will not accept that teaching, and you will be people who maintain the true teaching of the Lord. In Jude 1 at verse 3, when he says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, he had a difficult time and a difficult way, but he could at least write this message to them and warn them about the prophets that were coming and the false teaching that was going to be done. And he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you we should earnestly contend for what? The faith. The faith. The one faith described in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, is that one faith. And notice that one faith was to be practiced and taught throughout the generations yet to come. We do not have the right today to teach our own message here. You do not have the right to bring somebody here to teach his own message. But you have the right to call upon people to teach the Bible, teach the Word of God. I was a part of a congregation in central Mississippi that noted that particular thing. They had various speakers to come from various places, and they would invite them to come up and speak. But at times there would be speaking that would be done with which you couldn't find it in the Bible. You couldn't read it in the Bible. You couldn't go to it in the Bible at all. And one of our good brethren there would stand up at the end of service and say, that was a message timely for all of us. But there were some things said in it of which there is no scripture in the Bible for it. Should we accept that? And with ever fervor of their being, they would search out for various scriptures and not be able to find them. And they would say, we want you to come back and speak another time. But we want you to speak from the scripture itself and cite the verse of scripture that you're quoting from so that we can go to it and read it for ourselves and read the context of it and know that that's teaching the truth. I grew up in that kind of a congregation that was part of my early years. When I began preaching there at 12 and 13 years of age, they did me the same way that they did all those other visiting preachers that came through there. They wanted to see the Bible quoted, the Bible cited, and where it was found in the Scripture in order to accept what I had to say. And that was the case with the congregations around us there. The congregation at Carthage and over at Durant, the congregation at Louisville and Philadelphia that invited me to come and speak from time to time. They accepted the same thing. They expected the same way. Be sure that the message is the message of the Lord. That was the faith of which Jude wrote in Jude 1 at verse 3, that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Why is this so important to the Lord? It's so important to the Lord because that was the message of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus taught about receiving Him in John 12 at 48 and 49, He said, if you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that judges you. The word that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Notice what He said, the words I speak unto you are not my own, in verse 49 of John 12. Jesus, you didn't speak your own words? No, I didn't speak my own words. They're the words of the Heavenly Father. He sent me and He guided me to teach in His name. And this work is teaching in His name. This is the message of the Father. And this is a message for you to practice as you go through life. Notice that Jesus particularly noted that particular thing when He said this in John 8 in reference to, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He said, if you continue in my word, John 8, 31, then you'll be my disciple indeed. How will we be truly a disciple of the Lord, truly a worker for the Lord, truly a person in His church? You'll be truly that disciple. If you continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and ye shall come to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What makes us free is we are free from sin in life. We're free from sin when we obey the truth, when we follow the truth. In 1 John chapter 1 and down at verse 10, when He says regarding this matter, verses 9 and 10, He says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We noted that in regard to this teaching matter of the Lord's church. He knows that in time, as we go through life, we'll have temptations. There will be unrighteous things that we think about, and unrighteous things will bring us into sin, which is missing the mark of God's will. And so we don't want to do that. We want to be people who follow that mark and follow the teaching of the Lord and be the church that follows Him in His righteous way. And that's what He says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to emphasize this point, that as we begin to think about sin and think about wrong sayings and wrong doings on our part, when we think about it enough, we have not yet missed the mark. We've not yet sinned against God. We've not yet gone ahead and committed the deeds. But when we find ourselves thinking about it enough, planning about getting away with it, planning about doing that deed that is not of God, He wants to help us remove that from our lives. And that's what He says. He said He'll forgive us of our sins. When we do the commitment and we confess to Him we have sinned, we miss the mark. Then He tells us this, and I will not only do that, forgive you of your sins, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll cleanse you from the thinking that you've been doing. I'll cleanse you from the planning you've been making. I'll cleanse you from the ways of life that you think are better ways to follow and do. I'll show you. And you'll be reading parts of the Bible that has ways in which there's not righteousness there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12, He tells Timothy, though you're a young man, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. Here I am, I'm a believer in the Lord, I follow His way, and I want to do His will. That's what you want to do. And when you say words, you be an example of the believer. When you are in your life, your right style of life, your conversation of life, everybody knows you as a person who's honest and dependable and good-willed person. Then they'll know it because you're following the way of the Lord. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. In your words, in your conversation, in your charity, in your love, the agape love. Show the agape love in your giving. Show the agape love in your service. Show the agape love to your neighbors, Show the agape love to your family. Show that that love is a love that is based upon not what you've done for me and what goodwill you've had for me, but because it is the way that God would have me to do toward you. Have a love that is agape love. And then he says, in spirit and faith and in purity. As you do this in spirit, your ego, your pride of life, as you go forth and do these things, you do these things because you do them of God. You be a good example of the believer in the way that you spiritually walk. And then the way that you show your love. The way that you show your love in agape love is a way of doing this work. And then he says finally in purity. In the way that you look at people. The way that you talk to people. The way you make your plans in life. Be sure to plan them in a spiritual way. And in the way that is pure is the way that is of God. Let no man despise your youth, Timothy. Be an example of the believer. This will help the church. What would be done to the church, though, if Timothy were not thoughtful about his speech, his words? What would be done to the church where he served there at Ephesus in such a mighty way if they had a way of life that he lived that was not right? Always toward sin, always toward lying, always toward cheating, always toward another way than God's way. What would they think about the church by his example out in the community where he goes? Well, they would think terribly of the church. That's the way that the world does. That's the way that they all do. And as a result of that, no good would be done. What would that do to the church? It would divide the church, divide it into ways. For there be those who speak good words and fair speeches, and they deceive people. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 16, verse 17. They speak those words that deliver them away from God and to their hand. And we don't want that to happen. None of us want that to happen. We're trying to be faithful to the Lord in every way. And we look forward to our brethren returning that have been out because of the pandemic situation and time, and that they'll be back with us once again. And once again, the pews will be full around you. But until that time comes, that they are over that particular fear, that concern, we are maintaining a faithful disposition and faithful giving. Last week, as the work was being done on behalf of the orphans situation, it was a tremendous outpouring of help that we offered. I hope our prayers went with that gift. Our prayers went with that gift because that's God's work underway, and that's practicing pure religion. So James says in James 1 verses 26 and 27, when he says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's to care for them in their affliction. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Keep thyself unspotted from the world. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? 1 Timothy 3:15. If I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He told him that. And then he went on to say, let no man despise your youth in chapter 4. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in the words that you say, in the manner of life that you live, in the way that you find yourself doing God's will as you work in the world. That's the way to do. And Timothy, you do that, and you'll be a faithful servant of God as you should be. Not a divider of the body of Christ. So it is the way that we go and the way that we can do and the weight of our lives today. If you happen to be subject to Jesus' invitation, remember the song that has been announced to be sung at this time to encourage you to come forward and let it be known so that you'll be a faithful person serving the Lord the rest of your life. Shall we come as we stand and sing?
Today's a day of salvation. Good tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delay.
Preaches for the church of Sunday out of Tennessee, which is there at 5 o'clock in the morning to preach to that group of folks and everything. And he's done it for the last 15, 15 years of time. And he's taken off today, come down to the bridge to me and be a part of his service with us. And we're glad. Glory to visiting with him as well. So be them and be with them. God bless you, everyone, and look forward to seeing you tonight for our singing. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest.